The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Hoff sitting in for Steve Malzberg today. Thrilled that you're here. A lot going on in the news. And Steve is off today. I'm filling in for him today and tomorrow, and it's really an honor and a privilege to be here. I've known Steve for a long time, been on his show on various channels in the past, and have been on this show as well as a guest of his. And he asked me to sit in for him, so it's a thrill to be here on the TNT Radio Network. So thank you all for listening in, and thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to be here. Lots going on. Maybe I should start by sharing a little bit about myself. My name's Joe Hoft. That's H-O-F-T. I have a twin brother. His name's Jim Hoft. And Jim is the founder of the Gateway Pundit. He's my identical twin. And together recently, the last few years, I've been writing with Jim at the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit is one of the largest websites in the world today. It started off, and I'll give you a little history about the Gateway Pundit, Jim and myself. The Gateway Pundit started off back around 2004 when Jim had this idea to start a website. Now, at that time, there wasn't many websites out there, or news websites for sure. And but Jim decided to do it. He wasn't happy with the media reporting at that time. None of us were, as you might recall. George W. Bush was in the presidency. Now we have a different view of him today. But boy, back then we thought he was doing the right things. Many of us did, and we couldn't believe the terrible reporting we were getting from our mainstream media in the U.S. And Jim started the Gateway Pundit, and at that time he had maybe about three people reading him. One was me. Every day he'd put up some posts. If he had a really big post, he'd let me know. He had these other websites that were reaching out to him and saying, hey, or that he reached out to and asked them to put some of his stories up. Eventually, some of them did. Eventually, he didn't even need to write them. He was noticing that some of his stories were being linked to from these other bigger websites. And then after a period of time, he actually saw the people coming to his site as well. So he built it day by day, doing it the good old-fashioned way, just hard work and a vision. And he loved what he was doing. He started getting some real accolades. At the same time, he worked full-time. And in pretty much a meat grinder type of job, like many people have, and this gave him an out. It gave him an outlook and a way to, I guess, help his country. And so Jim moved forward day after day. He'd let me know when he had a big post and a big story, and it continued to grow. The Gateway Pundit did. Then he had a couple of people along the way give him some bigger kisses than just those links, and it was. One group flew him out to Israel for a couple of weeks because they liked what he was writing. There's a picture on the top of the Gateway Pundit on the top of the website. You'll see a picture of Jim with Netanyahu and Andrew Breitbart, the founder of Breitbart. So Jim met Andrew on that trip. A couple guys, I believe, from Red State, and another guy was there. And this group flew them all out there and showed them around. I remember Jim telling me stories about how they showed him various things, like in the police station in Israel. They went down and they showed him all these empty shells, and they were from bombs that were sent across the border into Israel, and how they said, you know, this is just from the past year. And they flew Jim around over some of these really kind of dangerous areas, and they said there was a wall that they built on the road there. He said, before this wall, people were getting shot just driving down the road. We built the wall. And it prevented people from getting to. We haven't had one incident since. Of course, the Western media then jumped in and said, boy, this wall is just horrible. It's segregation, and it shouldn't be there. And yet it was saving lives. So that's our mainstream media today. So anyways, Jim was impressed by that. He had another group fly him out to Reagan Ranch, another group fly him over to Prague, Czechoslovakia, where he got to see George W. Bush give a speech there, which was really an honor for a young guy in the Midwest, in the States. And at the meet, at the same time, I was on the corporate wheel. I was running in that direction. I have 10 degrees designations and or designations that I've earned. I jumped into finance and auditing, and had an opportunity at a major Fortune 500 corporation to take over the director of international audit detail, which led me around the world. I've been to Australia, for example, I think probably about a year of my life on 1 and 2 week trips. Love the people there. And good day to all you down there in Australia that might be listening in right now. Loved the people there. Loved everything about it. I could see at that time, though, the mainstream media there was just more toxic than in the U.S., very far left. And it was very unfortunate because I had some really smart friends there that were being led astray by this media, even though I also had some good friends that were conservative. I was there the day that Donald Trump won the presidency, and I could tell you a whole story about that. I was at a board meeting in Australia, and could hardly sit there. I wanted to just go see what the results of the election were. And by lunchtime in Australia, we still didn't know. Went and grabbed something to eat, came back, and then I was called my brother Jim, and he started saying, "Hey, this is looking really good," and there was a big meeting, and I remember that meeting was 1 hour long, around 1 o'clock in Australia time, around a little afternoon, and by the end of that meeting, the New York Times had a tracker similar to like you see in sports events now between a couple teams like in American football. And you could see that Donald Trump, they said they had predicted by the end of this speech, 95% chance of President Trump was going to be the next president. And it was exciting times. I got a nice picture of myself down by the Sydney Harbor Bridge and the Opera House as well, with the Opera House in the background with big old Trump sign. I was so ecstatic. It was a great time. Anyways, so Jim continued to build the Gateway Pundit, and it got pretty big. And before 2016, it was one of the most influential websites out there. And this is before they started really targeting conservatives on Facebook and Twitter. And Jim was rated by a couple of entities. One was through Harvard. One was through Columbia University, that the Gateway Pundit was one of the top four firms out there, media outlets on the right, that was influential in the election. As a matter of fact, we'd heard from one person that the Gateway Pundit had received twice as many Facebook shares as CNN. And some of our stuff we'd reshare CNN just because we were laughing at it, how absolutely insane their reporting was. And I tell you what, that's the difference between the right and the left. People on the left have no idea what the people on the right are saying. And the information that they get from their media is a lie. It's constantly a lie. I heard that piece right before the show here, how they're saying we're being told that this lady who just won Italy is some sort of radical, you know, far-right fascist. And she's anything but it. I listened to a couple of her speech. She's a beautiful woman who's courageous, who says, "I stand up for my family, my God, and my country." And I find nothing fascist about that. I find that actually heartwarming. And she says, we need to stand up against these fascists that are forcing us to buy their goods, that are forcing us to do things that we don't want to, that are stealing our individuality every day, that are telling our children that there's multiple sexes, that are doing just sick things with our children and teaching them, and sexuality and making us all just a number as opposed to a person, that are really, it's really evil. It's anti-God is what it is. It's this teaching that we're less than human. And really heartwarming to see what happened in Italy overnight. But finishing up my story about the Gateway Pundit, I started writing with Jim in 2016. I started writing for him about one or two posts every day. I had a full-time job. Like I said, I was a corporate executive out of Hong Kong by that time. I'd been in Hong Kong for almost a decade, working for this Fortune 500 firm. And that's why I was in Australia on the day of the election. I was down there for a board meeting. And it was exciting times. And I could see the numbers. There's things that I could see utilizing my skill set. And we just started crushing it on the Gateway Pundit. And shortly after the election, after President Trump won, we saw Barack Obama go to Silicon Valley. And then you could tell that the censorship began. And within a year, the top 10 conservative firms were like 5% of the volume on Facebook and Twitter that they'd received from before the election, 5%. And then you saw Mark Zuckerberg going in front of Congress saying, "No, we don't censor." And I thought, that man is a liar. That's just absolutely, it was repulsive what he was saying. It was absolutely not true. I saw it myself. I did a study for Jim utilizing my skill sets. And so that's where we saw, this is astonishing how they were slamming down on conservatives. By the time the 2020 election came around, conservative messaging on Twitter, Facebook was virtually none. One thing they would do on Facebook, for example, you'd share a post, you think your friends are getting it. Now they buried it. They buried it 100 or so stories down in your feed. So if you were getting, if you're going through your Facebook feed daily or whatever, you'd never get down to the shares from your friends with conservative media. And I think after a point in time, they just stopped even sharing it. So that's our media today. That was our big tech by the time 2020 came around. And I started writing for Jim then full time. I wrote for him once every day for up through 2020. And then in mid 2020, retired and came back to the States and started writing for him full time. So I've been with the Gateway Pundit now full time since 2020, and I've written a couple books over my career too. A couple that I've written recently, one is my most recent book is The Steal, Volume 2, The Impossible Occurs. And you can guess what that's about. It's about the stolen election of 2020. And basically at the end of each chapter, and we might be able to chat about this throughout the show today and tomorrow. At the end of each chapter, I say the same thing. Because of this, there's no way that this election should have been certified. And I go through, you know, bucket after bucket after bucket of things that happened. And there's just absolutely no way that election should have been certified on so many grounds. And I say this from a professional auditing perspective. I oversaw the financial reporting at one time for a multi-million and billion-dollar block of business for a major Fortune 500 corporation, and then later set up a auditing team in Asia Pacific for a Fortune 500 corporation as well. And I know auditing. I've probably done 200-300 audits around the world in my lifetime, and I know what I'm talking about when I say this. That election never should have been certified. That is an absolute given. And there was this pressure to push this thing through, that we had a timeline, we had to do it, and that was all garbage. We did not have the right to certify an election that wasn't accurate. And a great story comes from the founder of Dilbert. He came out with a piece a couple weeks after the election, and he says, hey, you know, whatever you think, whatever you say, don't believe it. It all ended when they forcefully prevented us, we in America, to get in and see what was going on. And we saw this in Philadelphia, where the Trump team had to go to court to get a ruling to go in to be able to see what's going on. And even then, the sheriff wouldn't back it. And so the Trump team was withheld. President Trump was ahead in Pennsylvania by 700,000 votes on election night. Over the next 3 days, they manufactured over 1 million votes for Joe Biden to steal to steal that state from him. And not a Republican was there to validate what was going on in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and across that state. When you look at the data and the incidents that I mentioned in my book, you'll see absolutely correct. Scott Adams from Dilbert's absolutely correct. The election was over when we weren't able to determine what was going on behind those doors. That was illegal, and it goes against everything about elections. We want free and fair elections. That's what we're all fighting for now. We don't want to ever see that evil happen again. And that's what happened. And we'll get into what's going on. I've got a great guest coming up, Larry Johnson, here in the next segment. We're going to talk about the ramifications of Biden being in control now, what he's done to the U.S. economy. By the way, I wrote a piece this morning at the Gateway Pundit. The U.S. stock market is in the worst shape it's ever been. This is the worst year for the U.S. stock market ever. And so that's what's going on. That's the ramifications of having a clown like Joe Biden in the White House. The guy doesn't even know where he is. And we all knew that ahead of time. The guy wasn't coming out of his basement in the election. And then they forcefully prevented us from seeing what was going on. At that time, we needed to stop in all those states and say, hey, we're not gonna accept these results. We're gonna either do it over or we're gonna just give it to President Trump, because you cannot allow this to happen in the United States of America. And yet that is exactly what happened. The election was stolen by a bunch of goons and monsters. So pretty shocking stuff that happened in the U.S., but I really thought Dilbert's, the producer of Dilbert, Scott Adams' assessment of that was spot on. If I was a corporate auditor, and I've done, like I said, all sorts of audits over the past 20, 30 years, and as well as other activities, I'll tell you what, if I ever walked into an entity to perform an audit, they said, sorry, you can't look at our machines, I would have been, what? What are you talking about? I can't look at your system. What are you talking about? And so anyways, that's BS. And if they told me that, and eventually if that's what they stuck to, then I'd be writing a report that says, I cannot make an opinion on the results of these financials because they won't let me know. They won't let me know. And so anyways, that's what happened in the U.S. And it's been horrible ever since. Today, the stock market was down again. This is the worst year in U.S. history to date. If the stock market closed today for the year at today's amount, it'd be the worst year ever. We're down 7,000 points from the beginning of the year. It's unbelievable what these clowns are doing to our country. Many of us believe that they're intentionally trying to destroy this country. And it's shocking. It's absurd. It's insane. It's destructive, and it's not American. These people running our country today, they're not American. They got this clown up that just reads whatever they throw in front of him. He's lost on stage. Again today, he had a group of athletes come in. I believe it was a team from Atlanta come in, and he didn't know where he was at. They had to tell him, oh, hold up the shirt, show your number. He didn't even know what was going on. And so we're all sitting back, and this is maybe the first time in world history that we don't even know who's running our country, let alone ever. Has any group ever had the inability to determine who was running their country? I mean, this is insane, and this is what's going on in America. And many of us think it's probably China, George Soros, Barack Obama, all three or whatever, but this is just it's a clown show in the U.S. So we're going to step away here for a break in a second here. We'll be back with my good friend Larry Johnson, and you're going to love what he has to share. So this is Joe Hoft with the TNT Radio Network sitting in for Steve Malzberg.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
I'm sure listeners to this program know that there was warrants that I've never seen in England for me, been one of the organizers of the first Trafalgar Square, right? Which I did in order to exercise our inalienable rights of freedom of travel and freedom of speech and freedom for people to hear health information, to keep them alive, right, from nurses and doctors. And also there is currently a warrant out that I've also never seen for traveling from Dublin Airport after speaking in Edinburgh to go home to my child at the time. And they want to put me in prison for six times for 6 months each for just going to the airport and returning home, having given health information that proved to be accurate. So I think what's very interesting, because also what we saw on Trafalgar Square was shocking. If you were there, particularly, well, a lot of times, but the first time, there was over 800 Robocops that just came in to a peaceful, beautiful, sunny day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon with 40, 50,000 people. And literally, they just with Robocops started beating up men, women, and children, right?
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Get breaking news on your phone when it happens. Download our app from the Google Play and App Store now.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoft. I'm filling in for my good friend Steve Malzberg on the Steve Malzberg Show here at the TNT Radio Network. Happy to be here. Got a great guest coming up here, and his name is Larry Johnson. Larry, are you with us?
I'm here, Joe. How are you?
Hey, great. You sound nice, crisp, and clear, so that's good to hear.
Good.
Yeah, and I know you're in Florida, so the weather so far, people keep asking me, how's it going in Florida, and what can you share from your part of the, or your neck of the woods?
Well, anybody that lives in the north that's ever faced an impending snowstorm knows how people freak out and, you know, they raid the stores for toilet paper and milk. Same thing down here. They don't have snow. They have hurricanes. So people run around and then they get overly prepared. The ones that really have to pay attention are those that live on the coast. It looks like this storm will come in, hit around the Tampa area, and will cause some 10 to 15 foot storm surge, which means a lot of these million-dollar mansions on the water are going to have some fish swimming inside their homes.
At least they don't have basements there, though, right?
True. Yeah. Basement's yeah. Really rare down here.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I'm glad you're safe, and I'm glad you're doing okay. And, you know, praying for those people in Florida that might be facing some severe storm surge coming up here. Hey, I wanted to share with our crowd a little bit about who you are, Larry. Larry, and correct me if I say anything that's wrong, but Larry has got a heck of a resume. For anybody listening, he is a really important person in U.S. history. And Larry was around. He's a former. He worked for the CIA and the State Department, and then he did a lot of work, I guess, since then through contracting and worked for the government. And he was one of the few people who knew who Al Qaeda was before 9/11. And after 9/11, he was one of the first people that they called. And as he's mentioned to me in the past, he's in the 9/11 museum in New York City, where they were calling Larry to ask him, who is this Al Qaeda? What's going on? And he was a big personality on the news, on Fox News in particular, after 9/11 for years, and gave us a lot of input on that. But the thing, Larry, that really grabs me about your past are the couple other things that you've been involved in. One that really blew me away was that through your connections, you were able to determine the Mueller team, this corrupt group of people in the U.S. government and our Department of Justice that still, it's fascistly corrupt now. These people that are running our justice system are sick. But you found out that this thing was a sham, and you were the person that told Devin Nunes, you need to go look at this stuff. And Nunes was a U.S. rep who's famous for going over to the White House, going in the basement, digging through files, trying to find this stuff. But somebody told him, and that person is you, Larry, is my understanding. And you saved the country in that regard as Nunes went through that. And let me just share. Any comments you want to make on that before I jump to the next life-saving action that you took?
No, I went in and I had information and I shared it with Devin. And he was like, what? No. And I said, I gave him a name and told him who to talk to and pursue it. And he did. And the rest is history. You know, he became a pariah. He has had a couple of messages to me. He sort of laughed about that. Fortunately, I didn't get the blame. but you know.
It's, yeah. Well, it, I tell it, you. It,
go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Larry.
No, I was just going to say it's Devin stood up, and then with Kash Patel, they started drilling down into it. And this was an organized effort that involved the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice. It was a full-blown coup attempt against Donald Trump. And the papers that Donald Trump took with him to Mar-a-Lago, he has the evidence. He has the evidence that exposes what the CIA did, what the FBI did. It exposes what British intelligence did, what Australian intelligence did. This was not just coordinated within the United States. It was coordinated overseas, and it was coordinated with Ukraine. Ukraine played a very critical role in this, with trying to destroy Donald Trump.
Amazing work, Larry. And yeah, for those listeners that aren't totally familiar with the story, we started digging into that. That's how I met you. Was I was over in Hong Kong. I'm writing for Jim, one or two posts a day, and all of a sudden these people came out of the woodwork. You were one of them. And we started just tearing into a thing. And day after day, we were just tearing it apart because it didn't make sense. None of it ever made sense. For example, here's my position. And I mentioned earlier, I'm a former auditor. When auditing, you have to comply with certain standards within the industry. I can't go in and audit, for example, my wife's company. Or I can't go in and perform an audit where my former boss works. If there's any actual conflicts of interest or even perceived conflicts of interest, meaning it, you know, oh, to somebody that might look like a conflict of interest, that doesn't make sense that I'd be doing that work, then I can't perform that engagement. But with the Mueller sham, from day one, Mueller shouldn't have been on that team. He's best friends with James Comey, who's the key guy in the whole thing. And his entire team was the most destructive, disgusting, and conflicted group of people you've ever met in your life. And this is in our Justice Department, which should be held to a higher standard than an auditor performing some work around the world. It's outrageous at that time as you start seeing this team that they put together of crooks and criminals to investigate President Trump. And Larry, I got to tell you, to this day, and this is the thing, we cannot let this go by. These people need to be not just do we need to find the truth, these people need to be held accountable. And for me, a coup d'etat back in 1865 when there was a coup d'etat and Abraham Lincoln was killed in the U.S., there was four people that were hung as a result of that. They ended up convicting four people that were the ringleaders that got hung and or hanged. I don't know if it's hanged or hung. But anyways, I mean, the penalty for a coup d'etat is very severe. And to this date, we haven't even had a hand slap.
Yeah, there's no accountability. And that's been the problem in Washington. It didn't just start with this. It's gone back years. And the failure to hold people accountable for what they do and what they do and the wrongs that they do is, you know, we go back to the American people were lied to about the need to go to war with Iraq in 2003. And yet no accountability for that. And so there's been an organized effort to misinform, disinform, to lie to the American people. And it continues on today. It continues on with respect to the economy. They're trying it with the election, trying to say, oh, yeah, the Republican, it's really close. The Democrats are going to probably hang on. Now, all of that is it's part of a psychological operation to put information out there to discourage anybody to think, oh, there's nothing we can do. No, there's a lot you can do.
Well, yeah, I mean, President Trump had the biggest win ever. And that's what people don't understand. As you go through the numbers and you look at the 2020 election, he had more votes than any president ever, by far. He had more votes than any candidate ever. The record before was 69 million with Barack Obama. President Trump comes in with 75 million votes. And we believe some of those were stolen from him. In addition to that, they were given to Biden. They came up with this bull garbage, absolute, you know, it's, you know, makes you want to puke that saying he had 81 million. Nobody believes he had 81 million. And that's one of the biggest shams. That is a result of this continuous coup. It's just the rolling coup. But let me just interject here, Larry. In addition to all that, in addition to your incredible work with the outing the scum involved in the Mueller scam, the thing that was really amazing too is that you were behind the bringing out of the Hunter Biden laptop. So you've been involved in some huge events in the last few years that nobody knows. No, a lot of people don't know your name. I'm fortunate enough to know you and talk to you and consider you my friend. This is amazing what you've been involved in and how you've helped save this country. So what as far as the Hunter laptop, are you able to share much about that story or no?
Sure, no. God has a sense of humor. I've got a very good friend here in Florida. He was a pilot in Vietnam, flew gunships. His co-pilot was a guy named Steve McIsaac, Mac. And I've known Mac for over 20 years. Well, when the Hunter Biden laptop broke, and I was on October 14th of 2020, I ended up talking to Mac, and he was beside himself because he said, I'm really afraid for my son. Well, his son is John Paul McIsaac, the one who had repaired the laptop. So I spent a couple hours on the phone with JP because he initially thought his dad was overreacting, but I got with him. We ended up getting him a lawyer, working with him, getting him proper security. And JP is just, he is one of the most decent human beings on the face of the earth. A person of integrity and honor. And he wasn't out to try to hurt Hunter Biden or hurt Joe Biden, but he had this laptop and the laptop was explosive. And what was funny is the day after the story broke, the lawyer for Hunter Biden called him trying to get the laptop back. So despite all these lies claiming it was Russian disinformation, the fact that Hunter Biden's lawyer was calling JP trying to get the laptop back, and when Hunter dropped it off, he signed a ticket that said that if he didn't return within 90 days, that laptop was the possession and the property of John Paul McIsaac. That's what happened, and that's why JP had legal right to that laptop. He didn't steal it. He has the phone record showing he made multiple phone calls, sent multiple text messages to Hunter Biden saying, come get your damn laptop. And that addled drug addict never showed up, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've talked to John Paul McIsaac. I've had him on my radio show in the past. Maybe a couple times I've talked to him, and he mentioned how Hunter comes stumbling in that day, but he thought he didn't think much of it at the time, but looking back, he thinks he was probably wasted. And he brought in three laptops, maybe four. I think it was three.
No, it was three.
Yeah.
Two of them had water damage. Yeah. They couldn't be recovered.
Well, actually, I think they all did, but the one was totally damaged, and he just handed it back to Hunter like, I can't do anything with this one. The other one, he said, needed a keyboard, so he handed him an external keyboard, and Hunter never paid for it. He stiffed him on an external keyboard even. And then he said he'd try to work on the third one. He said this third one was so water damaged, he couldn't just grab a copy, paste the whole laptop over to a hard drive. He ended up having to do it bit by bit because the machine was shut off. It wasn't an easy process, but in doing that, he started to see some of the stuff that was on there. There was, well, a lot of porn, which was just disgusting. And then he started seeing financial stuff, I guess, as well. And the rest is history. Now we know he's just a slime bucket. And then we heard, you know, before the election, we had these same clowns that are running the Mueller exam, that are behind this coup d'etat of President Trump, that are feeding all of us this garbage information, saying, oh no, Hunter Biden, that's a Russian, false narrative. And that was a lie.
Yeah. And the FBI knew it was a lie. But what's so important about that laptop is it establishes the connection between the Biden family and Ukraine, which goes to the heart of current U.S. policy towards Ukraine. This is not about defeating Russia. This is about protecting the economic interests, not just of the Bidens, but of other prominent Americans that went in and, you know, basically, you know, we're talking about John Kerry's son, he was involved. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney's mm-hmm. got a son who was involved. So it's bipartisan corruption.
Yeah. Pelosi, so Nancy Pelosi, her son. Yeah.
And then connected with that, they set up all these bio labs. The Department of Defense was setting up bio labs in Ukraine. You know, there's no good reason for that, particularly from if you're looking in terms of U.S. national security. This was this is very, really an evil plot, in my view. Hopefully we'll see a good end to this.
Hopefully someday. I tell you what, the thing too, I think today they just announced another $12 billion has been approved by our Congress to send over to Ukraine. I don't know. We're probably reaching $100 billion now. And I'm telling you, Larry, there are not many corporations in the U.S. that make that type of money in a year. There are not many. It's probably a handful, to be honest.
Well, what's happening?
It's outrageous what we're sending over there.
Well, they dress it up as if they're sending the aid to Ukraine, but what it really is allocating money that's going to be used to pay U.S. defense contractors to try to replenish the arms that they've already sent. The thing that Americans don't understand is the defense capability we had in World War II, where we could stand up factories and we were an industrial powerhouse. We're no longer that. We are not in a position, just consider that it will take that Ukraine has shot more javelins in 6 months than the U.S. defense contractor can make in a year. So
I think our
stocks.
Yeah, I think a big part of it myself, Larry, this is my opinion, just based on how corrupt these people are. I just believe a big part of this, too, is they're just padding their own pockets. I mean, we know that Hunter Biden made like $3 million over there minimum. And so this money's going over there, I think some of it, and it's just disappearing. And we don't know where it went.
The black market is flourishing in Ukraine. Absolutely flourishing. And so U.S. taxpayers are taking another bath. We lost billions in Iraq. We lost billions in Afghanistan. We're wasting billions in Ukraine. Meanwhile, our inner cities are more dangerous than these combat zones overseas. And our education system in these major cities are completely shredded. And you're raising a generation of feral children who don't know how to read, don't know how to write, don't know history. And when you create a large portion of your population like that, it makes it very difficult to continue to have a free republic. Mm.
Yeah, it's really sad what's going on today. I know there's so much more that we could talk about. I know one thing you wanted to share with me briefly. We've got a couple minutes here before break. You wanted to share something about what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine right now. Maybe if you can share it a couple minutes, that's fine.
Sure. The special military operation, as the Russians called it, is going to change dramatically this week because there's a vote that's been going on since Friday in the four Ukrainian oblasts, the Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. And those people are voting to decide whether they want to rejoin Russia. And it appears that the vote is going to say, yes, we want to rejoin Russia. The results of that vote will be presented to the Russian Congress, the Duma, this week. They will certify the results. They will accept the request of these they will be new Russian republics joining Russia. Putin will probably give a speech on Friday acknowledging that, and then we'll set forth that going forward, any attack on that territory by Ukraine or the United States or NATO will be an attack on Russia, and as such would represent an act of war. That is going to change the dynamic of what we've been watching over the last 6.5 months. And it's going to create a very, very potentially dangerous situation.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty scary, really scary. And to think, I tell you what, I've heard Russia really from this whole deal is made out because they've made a ton of money on their oil, on their gas, and they've got Europe just where they want them. I say, okay, you want to treat us, a certain way? Fine, we'll just shut off the gas. These people, they may freeze to death this winter. It's their own fault in the first place for not listening to Trump and tying up with other entities rather than Russia for their energy needs. So
pretty scary what's going on over there.
Yeah.
What Americans need to understand is that Russia has a massive industrial base. They produce all of the natural resources that they need to operate those factories. Those factories are operating 24/7. They're producing everything they need militarily. They don't have to import a single thing from overseas. Though, of late, they have been importing a drone from Iran, and that drone has a very effective combat capability that's being used to hit targets in Ukrainian territory now. But we've made a real gross error by underestimating the Russian economy. And it's really a robust economy. People always try to pretend they're a bunch of drunken Slavs that couldn't operate a sewing machine.
No, you're right. You're right, Larry. And media's not telling us any of this. Media's saying Russia's getting defeated. It's just an absolute joke and more gaslighting from the left. Hey, Larry, thanks so much for staying up with us tonight and joining me. I really appreciate it. We'd love to have you again. You know, full of knowledge for the average listener and myself. So thank you so much. And we're going to cut to a break now, but we'll be right back. This is Joe Hoff filling in for Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
How is that green energy transformation working for you? Energy chaos descends upon the world.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Yahoo Finance is reporting this week that firewood is the new gold in Europe. Prices and theft jump in Europe as Russia's gas cutoff boosts wood demand ahead of winter. 1,000% increase in EU energy prices. The New York Times is reporting that, quote, crippling energy bills are forcing European factories to go dark. Due to the shortages and high cost of energy, manufacturers are furloughing workers and shutting down lines because they can't pay gas and electric charges. Makers of metal, paper, fertilizer, other products that depend on gas and electricity are now being shuttered in Europe. Half of Europe's aluminum and zinc production taken offline. But don't worry, I'm sure China and India will be able to fill this manufacturing void. This, my friends, is the Great Reset in action. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
You have the right to know. The right to know about culture. The right to know about the economy. The right to know about technology and to know about sports. You have the right to know about education and politics and the weather. You have the right to know what's happening abroad and in your backyard. But above all else, you have the right to know that this right is under attack, and we must work to protect it. Because in order to be free, we must be informed. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
You have the power of information, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
And we are back. This is Joe Hoff with the Steve Malzberg Show. Steve's on holiday today. He's asked me to step in for him and on TNT Radio. So we're really happy to be here. There's a lot going on in the world today. Too much for us to cover in an hour, but we're going to try to do our best to talk about the top stories. I encourage you to go to the Gateway Pundit. That's thegatewaypundit.com to get your information. I also encourage you to go to amazon.com and pick up my new book, The Steal, Volume 2, The Impossible Occurs. I've written two books on the 2020 election now, The Steal, Volume 1, Setting the Stage, and now The Steal, Volume 2, The Impossible Occurs. It's I've tried to be very succinct and yet very comprehensive and very accurate in sharing the truth about the 2020 election. I'll read something for you. After my first book, President Trump sent me a nice note, and he shared the following. And he said this: "Thank you for sending a copy of your book, The Steal, Volume 1, Setting the Stage. As it is straightforward and accurate. We won, and they know it. I look forward to your next volume. Keep up the great work. With warmest regards, Donald Trump." So that was certainly an honor to receive that note from President Trump. It's probably my most favorite letter ever received, and thrilled by that. But yeah, he's right. He won, and it's absolutely true. And if you can't stomach that, then you should. If you're a fair-minded, willing, and open-minded, and honest individual, I think you would absolutely come to the conclusion that this election never should have been certified. Period. And I talked about it in the opening today, really about how even the creator of Dilbert, the cartoon on business, who's so clever, even he could see it. They never should have certified this as soon as people were prevented from seeing what's going on. And that's what happened. We had this in Detroit. In Detroit, there's video. People were kicked out there, and the crowd would cheer. I talked to a lady who was there, and she went there that next morning to help count. They didn't let Republicans in the room. The few that were let in, they were harassed. Black Lives Matter participants, and all they did is told you, put your mask on, you're too close, you're too far. The whole day just just their whole job was to absolutely infuriate those that were there trying to see what was going on. And when they finally got upset, the police would come over and escort the Republican out of the room, and the entire room would cheer. And there's videotape of that. And that's what happened in our election in 2020. So once you start looking into all the incidents, all the affidavits, all the evidence, all the fraud, you start seeing, hey, this was maybe the world's largest steal and ever. The biggest crime maybe ever. I mean, you know, the Holocaust was horrible and all these other events through world history, but this event of stealing this election has major league consequences. And we're seeing it today. And we're seeing it in the Ukraine where Russia's invaded. And we're seeing the Taiwan-China conflict highly heated up right now. Having lived in Hong Kong for years, I had been to Taiwan, been to China a number of times. And reading and hearing and listening to all the stuff going on in China, it's really scary times over there. And there's even word out this weekend about Xi being somehow missing, and that maybe there was a coup d'etat in China, but it was soon debunked. There's no evidence for that we're not aware of today, but I'm not. Still not sure whether she's been seen in public over the last week and a half, but I do hear there's some sort of perhaps a typhoon coming to Shanghai. So that might be the reason for the trains and the planes not flying out of that city. So who knows? But again, Shanghai's real close to Taiwan, so that could be the reason as well. Pretty scary times in the world today. A lot of evil. Yeah, really frightening. And the repercussions, so we've got an economy today that's just absolutely crashing. And President Trump warned us in his debate with Joe Biden. He said, if this guy wins, the markets are going to crash. He said, yeah, quote, unquote, he said that. And that's what's happened. And today, the bonds in the U.S. are at a 49-year low. And that goes as back as far as measurements have taken place, so perhaps even longer. And stocks are today, they were down 300 points. The Dow, which is a measurement of the stock market in the U.S., is that measurement. You take the 30 largest corporations and follow their stock, and as a group, you'll see that flows very consistent with the rest of the market. And so it's been the measurement really that most people I think use, that of the S&P 500. And the Dow again was down today more than 300 points. Now it's down more than 7,000 points this year. And that if it lands at that, as I mentioned earlier, it'll be the worst year in U.S. history. The market's worst year before this was in 2008. You recall the crisis in 2008. And that year, the market was down 4,000. I believe it was like 4,000, either 400 or 4,800 points. Nothing close to the 7,000 that's incurring now. This is the Biden economy. And a lot of people say, are these guys trying to do this? Is China in charge? Is that why they're doing it? Trying to destroy the U.S.? Because that seems to be what's happening. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people whose heads are still in the sand. Not you. If you're listening to this show, you're pretty well switched in. But it's pretty scary what's going on. It's scary, and that's the economics of the U.S. today, and a big part of that is because the Biden's overspent and he shut down our energy. We were an energy independent country just a few years ago. Just 2 years ago, President Trump made the U.S. the largest oil producer in the world, more than Russia and Saudi Arabia combined almost. That's how much production was going on in the U.S. And it was we were exporting oil. We were so profitable. Gas in the U.S., gas per gallon was less than $2 a gallon. Today it's $3 to $4 now. It's going back up. It's been as high as $5, and people are saying that's what's going to happen. And Joe Biden, to bring those costs down, I believe he went into the U.S. reserves that Trump filled up with that low price gas and filled this massive reserve that the U.S. has in place. And Biden took it all. And I believe he gave a lot of that oil over to China for probably maybe even gave it to him. He's, you know, we don't know what's all going on with this regime that's in charge now, but But anyways, our U.S. reserves are almost gone. If there's some crisis, we're just in a horrible situation now due to Biden, and now gas prices are going back up, and it's just frightening what's happening. Energy is a big part of it, but so is and that's driving a lot of this inflation. But so is the massive spending from the Biden administration. I mean, like I said, just today, another $12 billion going over to the Ukraine. Where's it going? What's the money for? Who's getting that money? Who really is getting that money? I'd like to audit that. I bet you it's a mess. I'll bet you there's money going to John Kerry and Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and George Soros, and the list goes on and on. Nancy Pelosi and her son. Remember Nancy here just recently went over to Taiwan. She brought her son along with her. People are saying, what's going on there? And she said, oh, it was all because he was my escort. Her husband just got busted for a DWI, drinking while in intoxicated charge, and he couldn't come, she said. So she brought her son. Well, that's all garbage. Her son was there so they could work out more money for the Pelosi fam, the family of Nancy Pelosi, bunch of crooks. And by the way, there's stories that her dad was in the mafia, so it's not surprising to think that Nancy Pelosi is just as crooked. That lady is one of the most nasty people, I think, on earth, and it's amazing she's still walking around, too. It's like I've said to my daughter, I remember a few years back when I was in Hong Kong, we were talking about her. I said, the only thing keeping her alive is the demons within her. That lady is sick and evil, and the things she did to President Trump, remember her tearing up President Trump's incredible speech right behind him on national TV. I mean, that said so much. I'm telling you, nobody's voting for these people. They know it. You know it. I know it. And yet they continue to play this fallacy like they won the election. It's garbage. And it's Joe Biden didn't get 81 million votes. That would have been like the largest vote win ever by far. Trump won the largest vote ever by far with 75 million votes compared to the prior record of Barack Obama at 69 million. What they're trying to tell us is that Joe Biden was more popular than Barack Obama in 2008, that Joe Biden was more popular than Hillary Clinton in 2016. It's not true. Everybody knows it. He's not. He's totally just a worthless and a crook and a career politician and everything that America doesn't want. We don't want any more politicians. I hope the people in Australia that are listening to this show are with me. You got to get rid of these career politicians. They're corrupt and they're evil, and they're thinking about one thing, and that's themselves and their families and what they can do to enrich themselves. And that's what we're seeing in the U.S., and certainly that's what we're seeing in Australia. I remember watching this craziness with COVID going on in Australia, and like, where are the strong men and women in that country to stand up against this garbage? It was outrageous. Finally, we started seeing some of the unions stand up. It was like, what is going on? This is abuse. This is stealing our individual rights and our freedom. And that's what this lady who just won in Italy's talked about. These people are stealing our rights and our individuality. They want to destroy the humanity. They want to put things into our bodies that we don't even know what they are, namely some of these vaccines. We're seeing people die today in record numbers. And it's just shocking what has happened really around the world. And it was sad that the U.S. was leading the charge. And by the way, so I've reported on this too. When this COVID came down, we didn't know what happened. Did China release it intentionally? Was it an accident? Blah, blah, blah. I've talked to this doctor who worked in Hong Kong at the time, happened to be there the same time I was in Hong Kong. I never met her when I was there, but she was at a major university and she was a virologist. And she said absolutely that COVID was released intentionally. She says these facilities that have this, that look at things, these level four securities, she said no way on earth would something like that happen, would this thing be released. She said it had to be intentionally. And I believe the reason was because Trump was crushing the Chinese economy. China still hasn't recovered. People don't know this, but China's economy is not good. So China's is not good. Now the U.S.'s is not good. Now Europe's is not good. And it's all because we've got these clowns that are trying to take over the world. So we don't need any more of them. We need to get back to the common sense, America, God, and family, or country, God, and family, and maybe not necessarily in that order. But that's what people care about. And that's what we want to, that's what we stand for. And that's why you're listening today, because you feel the same way. We cannot let our children inherit this world that these animals are putting together. So thanks for listening.